Hi, listeners. I'd like to take a moment to say thank you. If you've already listened to the new Parcast original series, Supernatural with Ashley Flowers, you're a big reason for its success. If you haven't had a chance to hear it yet, I strongly urge you to head over to the Supernatural with Ashley Flowers feed and subscribe today. Every Wednesday, Ashley Flowers searches for the truth behind some of history's most peculiar events. She'll explore some of the world's most bizarre, paranormal, and mystifying true crime occurrences and dissect the facts with a heavy helping of skepticism and rationale. There are already some fantastic episodes available for you to check out. But in the meantime, enjoy this exclusive clip from our episode on the Majestic 12. Was there a special committee formed under President Truman to recover and investigate alien spacecraft? Sort through the details with Ashley and decide for yourself. If you want to listen to the full episode, follow Supernatural with Ashley Flowers free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, I've got a story for you that's a conspiracy, wrapped inside a conspiracy, wrapped inside another conspiracy. It's a top-secret military project that started in the 1940s, and it might still be going on today. The FBI and the Air Force have tried to debunk the whole thing as a hoax, but in the process, they actually confirmed the central issue. There is a government conspiracy to hide the truth about UFOs. And the real cover-up goes way deeper than anyone imagined. This is Supernatural, a Parcast original, and I'm your host, Ashley Flowers. Every Wednesday, I'll be taking a deep dive into a real unexplained mystery to try and figure out the truth. This week, I'm looking at Majestic 12, the alleged government committee that was created to investigate UFOs. You can find all episodes of Supernatural and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify. And if you like what you're hearing, reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. If you've seen Men in Black or The X-Files, this story will seem familiar to you. A shadowy organization, classified documents, unidentified flying objects, layers and layers of disinformation. But this isn't fiction, it's real. And it all starts with an envelope that was dropped through Jamie Chandray's mail slot. Jamie was a TV producer who mostly did documentary work, nothing too big or controversial. He definitely wasn't used to getting strange tips from anonymous sources. But one afternoon in December of 1984, a manila envelope arrives at his North Hollywood home. It has no return address, but it's postmarked Albuquerque, New Mexico. Inside is another smaller envelope. And inside that envelope is a third envelope, unmarked except a Marriott Hotel logo on the back flap. When Jamie opens that last envelope, there's a roll of film inside. Before he even develops the photos, he has an idea of what this might be about. A few years ago, he'd started production on a fictional movie about UFOs. It eventually got axed because of funding problems, but he kept in touch with the screenwriter, Bill Moore, who's a passionate ufologist. Bill does a lot of his research in New Mexico, where the envelope is postmarked from, so Jamie figures it might have been sent by one of his sources. Coincidentally, Jamie is supposed to have dinner with Bill that same evening, so he brings the roll of film with him. Now, when Bill hears about this, he's intrigued, because he doesn't know anything about this either. So they immediately leave the restaurant, go back to Bill's house, and develop the film in his kitchen sink. Looking at the negatives through a magnifying glass, they realize these aren't regular pictures. They're photos taken of documents, 8 pages in all. They're typewritten and stamped at the top and bottom with the words top secret/magic, /eyes only. Now, magic is spelled M-A-J-I-C, and it's a shortened code name for the project in question. Operation Majestic 12. The first five pages are a general briefing for the incoming President Eisenhower. It's dated November 18, 1952, just a couple of weeks after he won the election. According to the briefing, Majestic 12 is a top-secret committee that reports directly to the president. It was created by the previous president, Harry Truman, after a mysterious object crashed in a desert near the Roswell Army airfield. Now, if you know anything about UFO lore, you've probably heard about the Roswell incident. In July 1947, something fell from the sky and landed on a ranch in small-town New Mexico. The Army scooped up the wreckage and told the press that it was just a flying disc. Later that day, they clarified that it was just a weather balloon. But by that point, it was already a huge media story. Dozens and dozens of people had seen the wreckage, and they said it didn't look like any weather balloon that they'd ever seen. Some of them claimed they'd even seen alien bodies at the crash site. According to the Majestic 12 memo, that was all 100% true. A secret team was sent out to recover the wreckage, along with four dead bodies that were definitely not human. After examining the aircraft and the corpses, the team was positive that this thing did not come from Earth. This obviously had to be kept under wraps or there would be chaos. So President Truman appointed a top secret committee of 12 people to investigate it, codenamed Operation Majestic 12. They would report directly to him and no one else would hear a word about it. Attached to the briefing is a classified executive order from the president dated September 24, 1947, which officially authorizes the creation of Majestic 12. Bill and Jamie know that if this document is real, it would be explosive. For one thing, it's proof that aliens exist and are visiting Earth, and it's also proof of a cover-up so big it makes Watergate look like a joke. It almost seems too good to be true. Now, Bill and Jamie aren't idiots. They know this is probably a hoax, and they can't do anything until they figure out whether the document is real or not. If they go public with it now and it turns out to be fake, they'll lose all their credibility as researchers. And on the other hand, if it is real, it's still a classified document. Sharing it would be considered espionage. So they have to tread carefully or they might end up in prison. That leaves the tricky question of how to authenticate it. Usually with a paper document, the first thing you do is test the ink, the typeface, watermarks, you know, all that stuff to make sure it lines up with other papers from that same era. But all they have is photos, not the original documents. If this document was real, there had to be a copy somewhere in the government's archives. Theoretically, they could just submit a Freedom of Information Act request for it. But at the time, it could take years for a request to be processed. And even then, there's no guarantee they'd actually get anything. I mean, if it's still classified or it concerns national security, the government doesn't have to hand it over. So instead of verifying that the papers are real, Bill and Jamie try to debunk them as fake. They look for any fact or detail that can be proven false. Bill had been studying the Roswell incident for years. He wrote an entire book on the subject. At first glance, everything in the briefing lines up with what he already knew from his own research, the timeline, the specific air base that the wreckage was taken to. For a second opinion, though, Bill and Jamie call in their friend Stanton Friedman. He was the first person to seriously investigate Roswell years before Bill started looking into it. When Stanton looks at the documents, the first thing he notices is that almost all of the listed members of the Majestic 12 Committee have already come up in his own research as possibly being connected to Roswell. There's Lieutenant General Robert Montague, who was the deputy commander at Fort Bliss in Texas, where the debris from Roswell was taken. Air Force General Nathan Twining, who spoke to the press about the incident right after the wreckage was found, two other military higher-ups, James Forrestal, the Secretary of Defense, and Gordon Gray, who was Assistant Secretary of the Army. There was also Roscoe Hillencotter, the CIA director, the two previous CIA directors, Hoyt Vandenberg and Sidney Sowers, and four big-name scientists who have worked on naval aircraft development. So far, it all checks out. If there was a secret committee to investigate Roswell, these 11 people would definitely be on the short list. There's only one final name that raises a red flag, an astrophysicist named Donald Menzel. Menzel is one of the most vocal anti-UFO skeptics in the entire country. He'd written 3 books debunking UFOs. But the MJ-12 briefing says he was there in Roswell examining the wreckage and that he believed it had come from another solar system. Now, that's a completely out of character for him, not to mention, why would an astronomer be looking at aircraft wreckage in the first place? I mean, the whole thing seems really fishy. But Stanton isn't ready to dismiss it all as a hoax just yet. Maybe there's something about Menzel's background that he doesn't know. So he hits the Library of Congress to be specific, and he finds a letter from 1951 written to Menzel by Dr. Vannevar Bush, another member of Majestic 12. The content of the letter is even more interesting. The Air Force has cleared Menzel of his charges of disloyalty, and he's allowed to keep his security clearance. Now, these were the McCarthy days, and pretty much everyone was under investigation for disloyalty. That part's not weird. But it begs the question, why did he have an Air Force security clearance to begin with? Stanton does some more digging, and it turns out Menzel did classified intelligence work for decades, starting in the 1930s. He consulted for the NSA and the CIA. He had a whole folder full of correspondence with JFK, which was just tucked away in the Harvard archives. And the nature of that work? He was a cryptanalyst, a code breaker. The Roswell wreckage was covered in strange symbols, so he might have been brought on to translate them. And the final kicker, in 1947, the year of the Roswell crash, Menzel made a number of trips to Washington, D.C. and New Mexico. Suddenly, this red flag is starting to look like something else. If Menzel really was involved in Majestic 12, his UFO skepticism could all be an act. In fact, he might have been ordered to do it to hide the truth from the public. So after checking out all the names, it seems reasonable that all 12 of them would have been part of Majestic 12. The next step is to look at the dates and see if all those people could have actually met at the given time and place. Now, the executive order creating MJ-12 is dated September 24, 1947, and it was supposedly given from President Truman to Secretary of Defense James Forrestal, along with Dr. Vannevar Bush. Well, according to Truman's appointment book, he only met with Forrestal and Bush together one time in 1947, and it was on September 24th. And what's more, that same afternoon, Forrestal went to the D.C. Police Department and registered for a concealed firearm permit. There's no clear reason why he thought he needed to arm himself right now, unless whatever he heard at that meeting made him fear for his life. So that first date could definitely be accurate. The other major date is November 18, 1952, the day the briefing was given to Eisenhower. As it turns out, Eisenhower was in Washington on that date for a full day of meetings at the White House and Pentagon. It's plausible that the briefing officer, Roscoe Hillencotter, could have been there too. He was living in New York City at the time and easily could have made a day trip to D.C. But there's no solid evidence, though. It's all circumstantial. And that's really the problem with all of it so far. After a few months of research, there's no solid proof that the documents aren't real, but they still can't actually verify them. It's starting to feel like a wild goose chase. And then, in March 1985, 3 months after the roll of film arrived, Bill gets a postcard. It's postmarked New Zealand, but the return address was Box 189, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. There's a bizarre riddle on the back. When doors won't open, search for windows. Add zest to your trip to Washington. Try Reese's Pieces. For a stylish look, shop Suitland. Now, this is eerie. Bill and Jamie don't have any travel plans, but Stanton is in Washington, D.C. at that very moment. He's planning to meet with a man named Ed Reese, who worked at the National Archives. Whoever sent this postcard must be keeping tabs on them, which is horrifying, but at least it seems like they're trying to help if they can figure out this cryptic clue. So Stanton checks in with Ed, and it turns out The Air Force is in the process of declassifying a batch of records from the late 1940s and early 50s. And the files are being kept at a records facility in Suitland, Maryland. On a hunch, Bill and Jamie fly out to Maryland to check it out. And what they find there would change the course of their investigation.
To finish this episode, listen to Supernatural with Ashley Flowers, free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.